good. I only have 5 minutes left. I'm Kathleen. I'm an addict. If you can't hear me, wave at me or something so I'll remember to project. I was talking before the meeting to a friend over there, and she said, you're nervous? And I said, yes. I still get nervous when I share. I get to thinking, bad idea, I get to thinking that what I'm going to say here is going to have some major influence, and I always have to remember the first meeting I went to, I can't remember a word anyone said. Now, I can remember faces that I've seen there, but most of all, I remember a feeling I had in the room that it was okay that I was there. The people were truly, genuinely interested in the fact that I was there, and that it was probably nothing was going to hurt me. And it was the first time in years that I was comfortable, a little bit comfortable, with sitting in a room surrounded by a bunch of strangers. I remember the first time I seen a copy of the basic text. I brought my husband's up with me. Mine's out in the car, and I was just too lazy to go get it. But the first time I seen a copy of the basic text, I opened it up, and it was an approval copy. And the first chapter read, "Who is an addict?" And right there, you know, it said, most of us felt we were addicts long before the first time we ever used. And I felt like somebody had just read my mail. They knew exactly who I was, because I never felt like I belonged, fit in anywhere. And I can still feel that, walking into a meeting away from home, you know. We went to a meeting last night in Chestertown, and I was absolutely amazed that there's still a meeting there. You see, I got clean. I'm going to jump around a lot, so if you get confused, I'm sorry. I got clean in 1981 in Flint, Michigan. And the only NA meeting, there were two NA meetings in the state. One was in Flint and one was in Saginaw. And no treatment centers took addicts. We were high risk. They didn't want us. You know, if we said we were an alcoholic, they'd let us come. But we died on them. They didn't want us. So I didn't go through treatment. I was also in the middle of about a 3-year divorce, you know, and I'm afraid if I went to a treatment center, my ex-husband would use that against me to get my kids. And also, I had said so many times before, this time I'm going to quit and I'm never going to use again. Now, this time I'm really not going to use again. I didn't want to say it. So I had met somebody, and I met this guy in a bar. And isn't that strange? And he said he drank, but he said he didn't have to use. And I didn't quite understand that. And he said he went someplace where he didn't have to use. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, maybe I ought to go with him. And he was drinking Coke. You know, I never thought to ask him what he was doing in a bar at the time. But he was drinking Coke, so, you know, we talked for a while. And he told me I ought to come to these meetings. And he gave me the address, and it was a church. And I said, no. You know, I've done church several times. It's never worked. No thanks. You know, and he said, well, it's not church. It's not related to the church. Just go to the meetings. You'll go in. You'll be comfortable. So I pulled up in front of this building. It was one of the big churches in town, you know, like a 200-year-old church. And I watched people going in. They were going in the side door. And I had this idea of the kind of people that should be going in. And our speaker before talked about it. You know, this was another fellowship. And I thought they'd be little old men in trench coats. You know, and I was younger then, about 22 years younger, and I watched, and there were people going in younger than I was, you know, and there were men and women, there were all kinds of people, but I couldn't get up the courage to open the door and go in myself. You know, I sat there thinking, I want to do this, I want to go in, I want to check this out, because quite frankly, I didn't think I had any other options left. I had used and abused everything in my life up until that point. And I sat there and I watched and I waited. I kept trying to talk myself into opening the door and going in. The next thing I know, all the people are coming out the door and leaving. You know, and they all had smiles on their faces. I remember that part. And they shook hands. You know, but so I went home, and the guy called me up and said, I checked and you didn't go to the meeting. And I said, no, I just didn't feel right. And he said, well, I'll take you to the meeting. So he took me to the meeting. But you know, I was nervous. I have a tendency to be nervous. So I thought I ought to take something before I went so I didn't act strange around him, you know. So I got loaded. And he came and got me. I went to the meeting. And like I said, I don't remember anything from that meeting, but I do remember the feelings in the room that these people actually cared that I was there. And people were really glad to see me leave, but nobody had been glad to see me come anywhere for a long time. And I decided maybe I'd check this thing out and I'd go back to some meetings. I went back to a couple meetings, and one thing I didn't hear there, and it's no criticism, you know, but what I didn't hear there was anything about abstinence, total abstinence. And I knew at that point in my life that that's the only thing, only option I had left. Because I'd tried before. I'd made major geographical changes. I'd changed people, places, and things, you know. Some people like to say we're powerless over that. I was never powerless over that. I could control people, manipulate things, move places. The only thing I was powerless over was my need to continually use, even though it was the worst possible thing to do at that time, I would do it. And I had tried only using certain things, you know, certain drugs. The first drug I ever used was alcohol when I was 13. I used alcohol for a year, and then my parents started sending me to psychiatrists to fix me. You know, my parents really cared about me. They were good people. My dad was a colonel, and so I was raised with discipline. All the things they say kids need, I had. And at 13, I turned into this child that they had no idea who I was. So they sent me to a psychiatrist, and he diagnosed me as being manic depressive. They have a different term for it now. But I'll tell you what, that's a real good definition of a speed freak. And I kept going back to him because they had a cure for it. They gave you drugs for it. And that worked for a while. But I had never found anything that would help me any long period of time. I changed drugs. I used different drugs. I substituted one for another, just like we all do, you know. When I went to this meeting, I really wanted what those people had. I wasn't sure what it was, and I wasn't sure I could get it. But I heard a second step that talked about a restoration to sanity. And I knew, you know, that fit. Because you did not do the things I did and be sane. So I had to be insane. So if I went long enough, maybe that second step thing would rub off on me. So I kept going back to meetings. And I made a decision that I was just going to get clean. I didn't even have a term for it. I just wasn't going to use anything for the next 5 minutes. And that's what I did. 5 minutes became 10 minutes, and 10 minutes to 2 days. And after about a week, I was able to go back to this meeting. Oh, I was so amazed that I had actually quit using everything. And I went into this meeting, and I sat down and I shared that. And, you know, meetings, if you're new and you don't know this, meetings are made up of people, and sometimes we can be real assholes. You know, we don't get to be addicts and be really graceful, kind, considerate people, you know. And I went in and I shared that I hadn't used anything. I quit using everything. And this one guy says, well, I'm sorry, honey, but we don't talk about that here. You know, and it really upset me, but you know what? It made me mad. I really am a redhead. Yeah. I'm a little more redhead now than I used to be, but I always have been a redhead. And I have a temper, just a little one. And I decided, nope, I'm going to stay. You know, because I found a place. I found one thing in my life that actually had worked. I hadn't used for a whole week. And I hadn't not used for a whole week since my first child was born. And that just amazed me. So I hung around, and somehow I managed to stay clean for 9 months. And I do not know how I stayed clean for 9 months. I think I stayed clean because I was terrified. I was terrified of using. Actually, that's not true. When I first started speaking, my sponsor always said, just tell the truth and don't jazz it up. So I have to backtrack a little bit. I stayed clean for a month or so, and I got really involved in the fellowship. I figured I would replace using drugs with hanging out with the people in the meetings, you know. And I didn't want to hang out with those people with time because they intimidated me. you know, I wanted to be comfortable. So I hung out with people with 1 month or 1 week or 5 days or whatever, you know, those people that understood me, you know. And I got all involved. They said, get involved. And so I thought that meant put on a dance, you know. So I put on a dance, and I couldn't date the guys I was used to use with, so I dated the guys in the fellowship, you know. And, you know, that doesn't work real well. No. Because you got to go to meetings with them, you know. And I just was able to build up a lot of resentments, and it was all your fault, you know. And I built up a lot of resentments. And when I got clean, I had 3 small children. And they were the joy of my life, the best thing that ever happened to me. And I thought, well, I was going to be a responsible parent, so I put my drugs up. I locked them in the closet where they would be safe. I couldn't flush them down the toilet. That would be wasteful. And you never know what might happen. So I locked them up. And then one night, I was angry enough and isolated enough, angry, tired, lonely, resentful, all those feelings that we have and we used to hide behind using, and now there they are right in front of you. And I've been clean for 2 weeks and I'd worked all 12 steps. And I had a good enough resentment that I thought, well, you know, what's it going to hurt? You know, I'm not going to drink. I won't drink. I'll still be sober. You know, but you know, I have some grass up there. You know, what's one joint going to do? You know, it's not even that much. You know, and oh, it was bad. It was dried out, and you know, but I smoked.